This is a Dragon Blazer production.
Coming down the aisle, it's the podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show. Welcome back to another episode of the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And today we are watching WrestleMania 4. We've already set this up with our bonus episode. We've kind of seen this one brewing since WrestleMania 3. This is going to be another rematch. I believe we get another rematch of Hogan versus Andre in this WrestleMania. We also get a 14-man elimination tournament for the vacated WWF World Heavyweight Championship because of what we saw happen in our bonus episode covering the main event. Andre tries to sell the WWF title to the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. Jack Tunney says no, won't allow it, vacates the title. Now we get this tournament for this WrestleMania. I'm looking forward to it. How about you, Blaze?
I am very much looking forward to it. I love me some tournaments, and that's what we got.
Yeah, so this is going to be a fun one. We'd like to point out that we've had a lot of interaction with some people on our page lately, the Facebook page, the Rage and Blaze Show. So we'd like to give a shout out to one of our followers who likes to go by the name of Boomer, and he has been adding to the Facebook page, and we'd like to thank him for that. We also have a special message from Boomer, but we're going to hold off to the end of the show to read that message.
Well, it would be at the end of part two, because this will probably be another two-part episode.
Yes, that is true. This is a 3.5-hour pay-per-view. Can't imagine we're going to get everything covered in an hour, so this will be another two-parter.
Okay, Boomer.
So we will hear from Boomer's letter in the next episode. We also would like to say, if you would like to join the conversation, hit us up on Facebook. We've got the at the Rage and Blaze Show Instagram page, at Ricky Rayberg on Twitter.
We got the Rage and Blaze at gmail.com. We've got Dragon Blazer Productions on Facebook fan page. We got Dragon Blazer Productions on Instagram. And my Twitter handle is at Dragon Blazer Pro.
Okay, so that's where you can join the conversation. Hit us up with your opinions. So let's talk about what we're about to see here. So this is the first WrestleMania, just knowing where the card leads. This is going to be the first WrestleMania that it is not a Hogan main event.
Yeah, yeah. I have a question. Do you even know is Hogan in this show?
I just said we get an Andre versus Hogan rematch.
Oh, we do? Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that.
I believe so in this pay-per-view. Because
entire show was the tournament.
If I'm wrong, I will go back and we will edit this so we don't look like dumbasses.
No. We'll keep that in.
So anyhow, without further ado, let's go ahead and let's start the show. Okay, so the start of WrestleMania 4 begins with America the Beautiful, as such most WrestleManias do. And on this year's edition of WrestleMania, we get Gladys Knight,
the Empress of Soul.
She gets to perform the rendition of America the Beautiful. She did a great job. They also talk about, they kind of show the crowd, talk about how this is from Trump Plaza.
Yes, and we actually are going to read the first part of the Boomer's email for us, because he talks about this. Also, do you know Gladys Knight?
Yes, I know Gladys Knight.
Do you know what song she's popular for?
Yeah, Midnight Train to Georgia.
Yep, which is a great song. Great song.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I don't know how... there's probably a lot of Gladys Knight songs that I know that I just don't realize it's Gladys Knight. That's the main one I know from her.
Yeah, that's the biggest song I remember, too, without kind of doing more research.
Right. All right, so this is a email. This is the first part. We're not going to read the second part because it has to. It pertains to the end of the show. So, but we're going to read the first part of the Boomer's email to us on the RageAndBlaze@gmail.com. All right, my brothers, Rage and Blaze, here are two very interesting facts about WrestleMania 4. Let's educate the masses. First fact for you. Did you know WrestleMania 4 and 5 were not actually held inside of Trump Plaza? That's just how it was billed. It was actually located inside the Atlantic City Convention Center, which was by Trump Plaza.
Okay, interesting nugget. I also would like to point out that, did you notice how much smaller the venue is compared to WrestleMania 3? Where I feel like from the get-go of this show, WrestleMania, I felt, got bigger and bigger and bigger each year so far. This year, they downsized. So they're in a 19, I think they have about 19,000 fans in attendance here, probably a little bit over that.
Which the last show was like the biggest and still, doesn't that
well,
still?
Well, it held up until like 20 years or something. But there was 93,000 in attendance at the Pontiac Silverdome. So I just kind of wanted to point out how much smaller of a venue they're holding it. And just from knowing history, we know that WrestleMania is held in Atlantic City here 2 years in a row, which was kind of odd. But they ended up holding it twice in a row in Atlantic City.
Yeah, that is weird that we got the same venue 2 years in a row. But WrestleMania, I guess, wasn't what it was. Like, it was essentially wrestling Super Bowl, but it wasn't to the... I mean, I guess WrestleMania will never be as big as the Super Bowl, but...
Come on now. WrestleMania is the Super Bowl of sports entertainment.
It is. It is. You're not wrong.
It is definitely wrestling's Super Bowl.
It is.
It draws a very similar comparison.
I did not say it wasn't.
Okay, so moving on, the very first match we get is a 20-man over-the-top rope battle royal. What'd you think of this, Blaze?
That's a fun match. It's a battle royal. I always like a battle royal. Not a lot of great spots.
Yeah,
in this one, it
not
was
a lot of memorable moments. It just kind of was a battle royal for this really tall, big trophy.
No, it was interesting that I didn't realize that they did so many battle royals in the early days, and now they're bringing it back, or they kind of brought it back, and so I didn't realize this was a tradition that they brought back. I just thought that was just something to honor Andre, but because now it's called the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Yeah.
Which fits because Andre wins the first one. Andre's not in this one at all.
No. Matter of fact, you didn't really get those big guys in this Battle Royal.
No big guys at all, really.
You're used to Royal Rumble, some of those other Battle Royals. You don't have any of them. You know, One Man Gang or Bam Bam Bigelow or Big John Studd. None of them. You don't get none of those guys.
We didn't get a Battle Royal in the last pay-per-view, or last WrestleMania. But we got one in the second one, so this is our second Battle Royal at WrestleMania.
Okay. So, the final four comes down to Paul Roma, Bret the Hitman Hart, the JYD Junkyard Dog, and Bad News Brown.
Yeah, Paul Roma doesn't last very long into this.
No, they didn't really focus on the Final Four, but we felt it was important to point it out. But the Final Three was fun, because then you had JYD with Bad News Brown and Bret the Hitman Hart, which were two heels versus the face, and the JYD, you know, he had a couple fun spots doing on all four headbutts on both of these guys, but eventually these guys ganged up on him and threw him out. So after they get thrown out, so now you got two heels in the ring, and you've got Bad News Brown and Bret the Hitman Hart. They're kind of holding each other's arms up like, hey, we're victorious, even though this is still, you're in the middle of a battle royal.
Yeah.
So Bad News Brown recognizes this and gives Bret Hart a little bit of a cheap shot, which I don't even know if you could call it a cheap shot when you're in the middle of a battle royal.
Yeah, and every man for themselves.
You're sitting there celebrating
and
like you just
you're the only two left.
I think Bret Hart was still in that I'm a tag team wrestler mode in his head, and he just hasn't quite grasped the whole singles competition thing. Who knows? So he gets thrown out. Bad News Brown wins the battle royal, but Bret Hart, as he has done so many times, kind of a sore loser here.
Yeah.
He's kind of a sore loser.
He kind of cheated on.
So he jumps back into the ring and destroys Bad News Brown's brand new taller than him trophy.
This trophy they made literally for Bret Hart to destroy this taller than him trophy.
So, and then the fans start cheering. Keep in mind, he's supposed to be a heel, so I'm not 100% sure. They didn't really go into it, but it kind of seems like we got somewhat of a face turn
Bret
Hart.
I think this is a moment of smart fans recognizing that Bret Hart is something special. So maybe they just started liking him around this time.
Not sure. So, I mean, he was acting like a heel in this battle royal, ganging up on JYD, and now all of a sudden the fans are cheering him. He's breaking this trophy. So it was an interesting spot.
Fans can be kind of animals, you know, so they probably just enjoyed watching a trophy get destroyed.
Okay, so, all right, so the next thing we get in this WrestleMania is Robin Leach, who he used to host the Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
His voice is so recognizable.
Very recognizable. He reads off, almost like in a proclamation scroll, he reads off that, you know, basically we're going to have a 14-man elimination tournament, and he kind of reads this whole scroll thing off, and then they announce the next match is about to happen, which would be the first match in this tournament, in the first round.
All right, I'm excited. Let's go.
Okay, let's move on to that match then. Okay, so the first match in the tournament is between Hacksaw Jim Duggan versus the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, accompanied by Virgil and Andre the Giant. This was a fun match. I really enjoyed this.
Really, I mean, this is, I believe, the first time we've got to see Million Dollar Man in the ring. And I tell you what, that man sells those moves so fantastically.
Oh, he sold a couple of Duggan's moves just that perfectly.
Atomic drop, he just flies over the rope after taking that atomic drop. And then he jumps off the top of the rope and Duggan punches him in the stomach and he just rolls up with it. I mean, you know what? That was he's an impressive performer. I loved watching this match.
Yeah, it was a
good match. Good sales.
Very good match, and we're starting to feel storylines really taking place here because Andre gets himself involved as Duggan is about to, you know, go in the three-point stance and do, I can't recall what the finishing move that Duggan called that.
I don't remember what he called it.
Where he pretty much just tackles somebody. Yeah. But it's not a spear. It's more of a, like a push.
Like a shoulder block.
Yeah, like a shoulder push or something. Anyhow, he's about to put on this move where Andre grabs and trips, or grabs his feet and prevents him from being able to put the move on Ted DiBiase. So Andre gets himself involved, punches Duggan in the head, while Ted DiBiase gives him a knee to the kidneys, and unfortunately that was just too much for Duggan to withstand. 1, 2, 3, Million Dollar Man moves on in this tournament.
Million Dollar Man should have just given Hacksaw Jim Duggan some money, and then he wouldn't have to deal with the humiliation of losing this match.
Yeah, and for the second time in this WrestleMania, we have sore loser again. Duggan did not take well to losing. He went out of the ring, got his 2x4, and chased them out of the arena.
Well, you know, these things happen.
Okay, so let's move on. So the next thing we get before the match that we're about to get is a promo from Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I don't know if I liked the promo. I mean, it was fine, but it felt too much like a forced character. Like, maybe he gets better in his promos later on, but I can't say I was a fan. What were your thoughts?
I wasn't too impressed. I didn't think it was horrible, but I just wasn't. Nothing special.
I'm not saying it wasn't horrible. He was trying to do something, but it was just, I don't know, it kind of fell flat for me.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. So, the next tournament, in the first round of the tournament, the next match, we get The Rock, Don Morocco, and he comes out with the superstar Billy Graham, and he faces Dino Bravo when he comes out with Frenchie Martin. Now, this match, I felt, got off to a really rough start.
Yeah, there were some really bad botches in this match.
There was not only some, there was a botch from Morocco off the top rope, but then immediately after the botch off the top rope, he gets kind of pushed off. Dino Bravo tries to push him off, and Morocco kind of had a delayed reaction to it. It looked really awkward, where he kind of was getting off of him normal, and then realized, oh, I'm being pushed off, and it's almost like flung himself up in the air.
Yeah, these
it was
two did
very
not have
odd. Not a lot of good chemistry between the two.
They did not have very good ring chemistry at all. Yeah, this was an awkward match. It wasn't that good. Two muscle-bound dudes. And it wasn't so much that as it was just bad ring presence. It just, I don't know, it wasn't very good.
Yeah. So I wasn't overly impressed with this match. I don't think the botches kind of stopped towards, you know, later on in the match, but I don't think the match really got much better.
Really got awkward. I expect more from The Rock.
Yeah. So this match just kind of fell flat to me. But and then this is a tournament, and it ends in disqualification.
Yeah, because Dino Bravo, or as I like to call him, Johnny Bravo, throws the ref in front of a move that The Rock is doing and gets the DQ.
Yeah, so this match ends in disqualification. Don Morocco's going to move on in the tournament. It was just a very unforgettable match.
Yeah, I was going to say some things defending Johnny Bravo here for that cheating that he does at the end there, but just like Shania Twain, he didn't impress me much.
Really? Okay. All right, here we go. So we're going to move on to the next match. Okay, so we get a promo from The Honky Tonk Man.
Yes, we do. good promo. It's honky tonk.
It was fun. And then we get our next match, which is Ricky the Dragon Steamboat versus Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Oh, you forgot about Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's manager coming out with him.
Oh, yeah. Ricky brings out his baby. I think this is a WrestleMania first.
And possibly only. I don't recall too many wrestlers bringing their babies to the ring.
I don't recall babies
in the entrance.
In WrestleMania.
In the entrance. I was worried for that baby. I didn't know what Greg the Hammer Valentine might do.
So then he passes the baby off to some random woman.
His wife.
Oh.
they specifically say that's Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's wife. Probably the mother of the child.
Fair to say, I suppose.
No, that is literally what they said.
Yeah. Agree to disagree. Just some random woman just grabbing the baby.
Wife.
Then we got Jimmy Hart on the other side for Greg the Hammer Valentine. And we're moving on with this match. It was a good match. There was a few moments that felt a little off, but overall it was a decent match. Ricky the Dragon, he usually puts on a good show regardless, but there was a couple miscues.
Yeah, there was a moment where Ricky the Dragon Steamboat drop-kicked Greg the Hammer Valentine into the ropes, and he bounces back, and it seems like he's going for a schoolboy roll-up pin, and he just completely misses him. It was just very awkward moment. But other than that, it was a decent match. Ends with Greg the Hammer Valentine winning after Ricky the Dragon Steamboat jumps off the top rope and for a splash.
Crossbody.
Crossbody splash. And Greg kind of just rolls him up and takes the momentum and gets the pin.
Yeah, so he's moving on. This was another tournament match. So Greg the Hammer Valentine is moving on to the second round of the tournament.
That is correct.
So before the next match, we get a British the Bulldogs and Coco Beware promo with their dog Matilda. And they talk about Matilda being the only certified weasel hunting dog in the world. Referring to hunting weasels, they are referring to Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yeah. It was fine.
It was a little fun little promo.
It was all right.
Nothing exciting, nothing too over the top, but it was different. I remembered it.
Okay.
So then we get our next match, which is the Natural Butch Reed in his corner, Slick, and his opponent, the Macho Man, Randy Savage, with Miss Elizabeth. This is a first round tournament match, and this was a pretty good match. I so far think this was best match of the night so far that I've seen. I haven't really been overly impressed with a lot of the matches on this card that they've had so far, but this match did work for me.
Yeah, it was an all right match. I mean, it wasn't anything. I love Macho Man, so it was a kind of it was fine. There wasn't anything bad about it. It was just a decent match.
Yeah, it was good match, good chemistry. I didn't see any botches. I didn't see anything.
This is the first one I don't think we've really
Yeah, this is probably one of the first matches outside of the Battle Royal.
No, you know what? I take that back. This is not the best match so far. That's definitely
Ted DiBiase.
Oh, you like
the DiBiase match. Yeah,
him selling moves was super entertaining for me.
I agree. I guess I could. Yeah, I could see that argument. But for me, I thought this was the best match of the night. I think Randy Savage and Butch Reed worked pretty well together in this match.
I mean, I don't think it was a bad match, but it just didn't have the pizzazz that the Ted DiBiase match had, in my opinion.
So the match ends with Butch Reed kind of on his own, kind of talking crap to Miss Elizabeth and not really paying attention.
Elizabeth is using her womanly wiles to help Macho Man is what happened.
She was just standing out there. She wasn't saying anything. Heck, I don't think I've ever heard her talk. So Macho Man takes advantage of this. He throws Butch off the top ropes. He lands in the middle of the ring. Macho Man heads up to the top and flying elbow. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, decent match.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
It was his second best match of the night so far.
Tied for first right now. We'll see how the night goes. I thought they worked well together.
It was impressive.
I do agree that Ted DiBiase brought a lot of fun into that last match, but I thought this was more well-rounded, better match with both performers.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, so let's keep going. Okay, so the next thing we get is a promo with Bobby the Brain Heenan and the Islanders, which the Islanders don't talk, but no. They talk about the Matilda and the dog, you know, coming to hunt him and all this. It was Bobby the Brain.
This has just been kind of a disappointing pay-per-view so far.
Yeah, this is not, I don't think this is going to rank up there so far. This has kind of been a lackluster WrestleMania so far. A little bit. Nothing special, nothing too exciting.
Still better than the first one, but
we still have time to go. But so far, this has kind of just been just not as exciting or fun WrestleMania as we've had already.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next match we get One Man Gang with Slick and Bam Bam Bigelow with Oliver Humperdinck. So this match was fun. I found it fun, but it had its flaws. Watching Bam Bam is really fun to me.
Bam Bam. I really was impressed with him in the Royal Rumble.
It was Survivor Series. He was the last man on Hogan's team.
Oh, that's
left
right.
Standing.
Yeah. I was very impressed with him there. He didn't do anything as impressive in this match, but, I mean, I still enjoyed him. Doing a lot of cartwheels for a big guy.
He's doing cartwheels for no reason at all.
No reason at all.
So
just to be like, hey, I'm big. Look at what I can do.
So, yeah, this was he didn't do as much in this match as he did in Survivor Series, but the match ended kind of weird.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a disqualification. They said it was a countout for Bam Bam.
It was weird because, so Bam Bam was running towards the ropes, and Slick pulled down the top rope, and Bam Bam fell outside. So we thought maybe this was a disqualification, but a very delayed reaction about it. And then Bam Bam was kind of out there yelling with Slick. I never really heard him count to 10, though.
So I'm thinking this is a matter of they didn't have a mic on the ref back then. And I feel like nowadays they put a mic, you know, one of those little mics you put on your shirt, on the referee so you can hear the counts. Because I've noticed this a lot. There's been a few countouts we've had while watching through these, and none of them seem like it's happened. Like, they don't really make a big emphasis on the count out until after the count out has happened.
Yeah, and so Bam Bam comes back into the ring, and you think the match is about to continue, and all of a sudden you start to get a announcement that the winner of this match was One Man Gang via countout, and it was just kind of awkward. It just felt awkward.
It was terrible. I would have much rather have seen the way more impressive Bam Bam continue on. Instead, we're getting One Man Gang, which, so far, he's a big guy. That's about all he is. I haven't seen much out of them to be impressed.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely would have liked to seen Bam Bam move on in this tournament, see more of him. He seems really, he's really fun to watch.
He's really agile for such a large man.
So it just was kind of disappointing when we got these results. And it was just the way it happened was just so confusing. Like, you didn't even realize that the match was being stopped. It was just kind of odd. And it just happened.
Yeah, it was weird.
So before we move on with WrestleMania 4, we're going to go ahead and hear from our sponsor. So, the next thing we get is a very, very entertaining promo from Hulk Hogan. He talks about splitting the
United States
United States
Jersey
down
to Florida.
From Jersey to Florida and splitting it down, and he'll slam Andre down into the ocean. It was wild. And the whole time he's talking, he's flexing his muscles like Hogan always does. He's flexing up while talking. And Blaze, I know you want to talk about how he left the interview.
Well, as I brought up in the last show, or the bonus episode, Hulk Hogan does this pose, this muscle pose, and then he backs away. Well, not this time. Not this time.
Doesn't just
he
back
posed,
away.
And then he waves his arm like he's backing out with the ocean.
Yeah, it was almost like he was swimming a backstroke.
Yeah. Well, because he parted the earth, and Andre is now in the water, so he's got to swim away.
And something to do with he was going to slam him down to the bottom of the ocean. So this was a fun one.
This was absolute ridiculous and crazy, and I loved it.
It was definitely the right kind of cheese.
It's insane.
Okay, so the next match we're going to get in the tournament is Jake the Snake Roberts versus Ravishing Rick Rude with Bobby Heenan in his corner. This match, I thought, started off really good. Two really good wrestlers, really fun, a lot of good spots. But somewhere down the line, and the crowd there will agree with me on this, the fans actually started chanting boring.
Well, these are Jersey fans.
Yeah, so these Jersey fans are brutal. Because Ravishing Rick Rude pretty much puts Jake the Snake Roberts in a sleeper hold that probably lasts about 7-8 minutes throughout the match, where the commentators actually had to point out that this match is for a 15-minute time limit. And they kept repeating this during these slow, drawn-out holds that Rick Rude was doing.
And to the point I even mentioned that this match is not going to end.
Yeah,
this match
because
was
they
gonna
kept pointing out it's only a 15-minute time limit, and it just was weird because the fans started chanting boring because he's doing this sleeper hold, and it lasted forever.
Reverse chin lock.
Huh?
It was a reverse chin lock.
Reverse chin lock. But it lasted forever.
Now, see, I liked this match. I can see why the fans were getting bored. There was a lot that I would have preferred a little bit more variety with the submissions. Like, I like a good technician submission type.
Yeah, but it was the same move.
It was the same move over and over again, which I guess also tells a story.
He kind of releases it and then reapplied it.
And then it got a little more exciting when he finally breaks out of that by doing landing on his butt and hitting his Ravishing Rick Rude's chin. So, I mean, and it got a little bit more exciting after that. But, yeah, there was a little too much of the reverse chin lock. And like I said, I normally wouldn't mind that for a submission wrestler if it was a variety of moves. Or if that's, I don't know, is that Ravishing Rick Rude's finisher?
I'd have to look it up, to be honest.
I don't feel like it is.
I thought he had a move called, like, the Rude Awakening or
it
something.
Is called the Rude Awakening, that, but I don't remember.
Was that the Rude Awakening?
I don't feel like it was.
I don't think it is either. So finally we get a little bit more to this match after these submission holds, and as the match starts to kind of move forward, Ravishing Rick Rude finally gets a pin on Jake the Snake Roberts, and you think there's going to be a three count, but instead the ref counts maybe one and then stops because he announces that the time limit has expired and both men are eliminated from the tournament. They called this match a draw.
Yeah, yeah. Which I guess we should have saw coming. They said it's a 14-man tournament. That's a little uneven. We were wondering how they were going to work that out. So apparently they work it out by having a decent match, long match, end in a draw.
Well, no, they said one man gang's going to get a bye.
How does that work?
Well, we're about to find out because I believe we heard in Hogan's promo he was saying that he would meet Andre in the second round of the tournament. So it sounds like maybe Andre and Hogan got a bye from the first round of the tournament.
Oh, so they are part of the tournament, and they just got a bye. Well, probably because one was champion. I guess that can make sense. If one was champion, then the other one won the championship, and it was kind of controversial. There was bullshittery involved, considering they paid off the ref. So, I guess it makes sense, and it's fair to give them a bye.
Well, that's what it appears is going to happen here. But this one ends in a draw, so it sounds like they announced One Man Gang will get the bye in the next round of the tournament, and we'll see how this one shakes out.
All right. Which, to be honest with you, I'm not complaining about One Man Gang getting less matches.
Okay, before the next match, we get Mean Gene Okerlund, and we get a tournament bracket behind him, which was really cool to see.
Which helps explain a lot.
Yeah, explains a lot, because one of the things they mention, or that Mean Gene mentions during this promo, I don't know if you call this a promo, but he explains that due to the actions on February 5th, that Hogan and Andre get a bye. Mm-hmm. So they did both get a bye. They are facing each other at the beginning of round two. They also explained, as we had already heard, One Man Gang also gets a bye. So we get Vanna White, and she comes out. She was the Wheel of Fortune girl for many, many years.
I believe she still is.
Is she still on there?
I believe
so. Dear Lord.
Both her and
Pat Sajak.
Yeah.
Wow, they're still on there? Wow.
I believe so.
I haven't watched it in years. I didn't know she was still
me
around.
Me neither, but I'm pretty sure.
So now we get Vanna White with Mean Gene Okerlund talking about the upcoming tournament, round two of the tournament, and he asks her opinion of the matches coming up and who she likes in each match. And, of course,
very biased. She continuously just chooses all the good guys.
Yeah, she chooses the face in every match. Talks about how... Oh, it sounds like she kind of wooed over Hogan.
Mean Gene was concerned about her distracting him.
Yeah, she was, like, match. Really, like, into Hogan.
I mean...
So, she kind of picked the baby faces in every match. And that was a cute little segment. And then we're moving on to first match in a long time on the show. It's not a tournament match.
Yeah, we finally get to see the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah. So we get the Ultimate Warrior, and he is taking on the mighty Hercules.
A demigod.
Yes, a demigod. And I have to ask, we watched this match, was he everything you remembered and more? Because this was your guy growing up.
Yeah, when I was a kid, you always liked Hulk Hogan, and I always liked the Ultimate Warrior. I have a thing for I like the more flashy guys throughout history of wrestling.
Another word for that's flamboyant. You like the flamboyant ones, right?
That's right. I don't see what you're trying to get at there.
The men that wear makeup and feathers and tassels on their arms.
What's the problem with that? They're fantastic.
No, I agree. Ultimate Warrior is awesome. But yeah, growing up, it was kind of like, you know, we had those buddy pillows. Remember those?
Yeah.
And I had the Hulk rules.
Well, the wrestling or the football ones were called tackling dummies.
Yeah, but
were called wrestling dummies.
We had the wrestling dummies that were kind of shaped, kind of soft like a pillow. And I had the Hogan one. You had the Ultimate Warrior one.
That's correct.
So now that you've seen him in action, this is the first chance we have got to see him in singles competition. We did see him briefly in the Royal Rumble, but unfortunately, when he was in the Royal Rumble, he was not in it very long, maybe 2.5 minutes. So now getting to see him in singles competition as an adult, what do you think?
This wasn't a very good showcase for the Ultimate Warrior. I mean, it wasn't a terrible match, but just not much happened.
Yeah, I don't think it was an exciting match, but it wasn't a bad match.
No, it wasn't a bad match, but, you know, if I'm going to try to compare this to the love of my childhood, I'm going to wait until, we get like Hulk Hogan versus Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania 6, you know, some of his more high profile matches, and he's not facing a demigod like Hercules.
Well, this is obviously really early in his career. I don't know how long he'd been wrestling before this. I know he used to wrestle as the Dingo Warrior. I believe he was tag team partners with Sting at one time. I
don't imagine we'll get to see that.
This is early in his WWF career. No, I know we won't see that. We don't see Sting in WWF for 30 more years. I mean, I know we're getting off subject, but that was a shocking moment. Something I didn't think I'd ever see.
Right. But yeah, so I'm just going to wait until those more high-profile matches to really give a judgment on the icon of my childhood. So, this wasn't exactly the best showcase for the Ultimate Warrior. It was fine.
Yeah, it was a decent match. It just wasn't nothing special. There wasn't anything that was really riveting or great about it. But it wasn't a bad match.
Had a bit of an interesting end. That's another thing.
Yeah, the ending
we didn't
was,
get to see the end, any finishers on this one. So
Hercules tried to do a suplex.
Yes.
Into a pin, and it kind of looked like that he was trying to get the pin on Ultimate Warrior.
Well,
and
at first,
Ultimate Warrior lifted his arm up before the three count, but the ref kept counting. So then you find out that apparently Hercules' elbows were, or not elbows, I'm
shoulders.
Sorry, shoulders were down on the mat, and that's why he was counting, and Hercules was down for the pin, and they awarded the match to the Ultimate Warrior.
Well, essentially the ref was counting for both of their shoulders being down, and then Ultimate Warrior got his shoulder up, but Hercules didn't, so Ultimate Warrior ended up getting the win. And then Hercules decides to try to choke out my childhood icon with his magical chains. And then the Ultimate Warrior takes those chains and starts twirling them around in the ring.
Yeah, I wouldn't have wanted to be in the ring with him. The referee had to have got out of Dodge.
The ref stood there in terror, I believe. He just stood there watching on while Warrior was just throwing those chains all around, all willy-nilly.
So, yeah, that was kind of a fun finish to the match. So I believe we're around about the halfway point of this WrestleMania. So
yep,
it's about time to end the first half of the podcast. This is part one of WrestleMania 4. So before we end it, what stands out to you so far on this WrestleMania?
I still feel like the biggest standout was the Million Dollar Man selling moves. Not even the whole match, mostly Million Dollar Man just being the best heel that a heel can be.
Yeah, and I'm going to give it to Randy Savage and Butch Reed.
See, I feel I still felt like that was alone.
No, I felt it was a really good match. It was a really good worked match. I understand why you're going with the DiBiase Duggan match, but for me, it was really good worked match between those two. So
wasn't a bad match. I can't really fault you on that. It's just I enjoyed the antics of a Million Dollar Man a little bit more.
And then, to be honest, so far we're halfway through. This has just been a less than memorable WrestleMania, in my opinion.
I mean, depending on how the end of this goes, and we'll find that out in the next part. But this probably is just going to be a slight step above WrestleMania 1 for me.
Yeah, the main event might make a big difference because it's somewhere floating. I've got to decide between 2 and 4 right now. But, I mean, it's just hopefully it gets better, more exciting. I know the next match, it sounds like, when we come back on part 2, sounds like we'll be watching Hogan versus Andre. That should be fun. And we'll see where this tournament leads. But just so far, it's just been just kind of a letdown. WrestleMania is just not that exciting. I think the fact that these are tournament matches and you know there's going to be another match, maybe that's part of the problem because... You know, usually you get these feuds and then you get these great matches at WrestleMania where instead you're not really getting those feuds. The major feud going on would be the Andre
Hogan
thing.
I was thinking about that is that, yeah, a lot of this could be as simple as, you know, none of these matches are really built up other than obviously Andre and Hulk, which we haven't seen yet. These aren't feud matches, they're tournament matches. So... Yeah, that could play a factor, especially when we've seen so many botches.
Yeah,
it's just a lot of botches in this WrestleMania so far.
There has been, and then the only match really we got, we did get the Battle Royal. Is the Battle Royal and the Ultimate Warrior and Hercules match the only two matches we've gotten that's not related to the tournament?
Yes.
Okay, so then you kind of got the fact that other than... You know, you had the Ultimate Warrior Hercules match. It sounds like there was a feud going on based off of the announcers, but we didn't get promos.
No, we didn't get to see any backstory on that.
Yeah, we got no backstory on this match, but it sounds like there's a feud going on based off of what Gorilla Monsoon was saying.
Yeah, Ultimate Warrior just hates Greek mythology, so, you know, he just went after the Hercules, the demigod.
So I think that might be playing into why, and it'd be different if we had this tournament with no build-up matches, with no hype to these matches. I think it'd be different if we got another great, like, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat Macho Man match that just tears the house
down.
Well,
we get that.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean,
if
that
one
is
of these tournament
the
matches,
greatest match of all time.
No,
I mean,
but you get where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
That, if one of these tournament matches turned out to be like a spectacle
which
that tore the house down...
It makes more sense that we'll get that spectacle later on. I mean, you also got to realize that these wrestlers are going to be wrestling at least two matches each almost.
So are they saving themselves?
So, I mean, you don't throw it all on the line on the first match, do you?
Well,
you do what you need to win, and then you... put on a spectacular show later.
This that might be it. Maybe the later on the second round, maybe we'll get better performances. Okay, so this is going to conclude our WrestleMania 4 Part 1 podcast. We will be back for WrestleMania 4 Part 2 in a week. And I am Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
So long from Rage's Pit. And here is your winners and still podcast tag team champions of the world,
the Rage and Blaze Show.
Thank you for listening.